Parshas Tetzaveh begins, Va'ato Tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael. V'yikhu elecho shemen zayis zoch kosis lamor. You're taking this special oil. What for? Lehalois ner tomid. What does it mean? Lehalois ner tomid. Says Rashi, lehalois, to elevate. Madlik, you have to light the candle. Ad shetehe shalheves oile me'aleha. Until the flame goes up on its own. And there's a very special limud here. Because if you look at this menorah as if the shamish is a mechanech. And the neirois, the candles, are the talmidim. The mechanech has to light, he has to inspire his talmidim. Ad shetehe shalheves oile me'aleha means until the flame is able to stay lit on its own. Until the flame can stand on his own feet. Until it can do it by itself. So a mechanech's job is not only when his talmidim are there together with him, but rather when the talmidim are on their own, can they stand on their own? Can they do it by themselves? That is the test of a true mechanech. And perhaps this is the pshat which it said in Parshas Mishpatim. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Ale Elai Hehora, come up here to the mountain. Come up to me on the mountain. Veheye Sham, and you should be there. And the shaila is, why does Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu, Ale Elai Hehora Veheye Sham, and you should be there? It should say, Ale Elai Hehora Veheye Po, and you should be here. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu to be here. That's not the point. The point is to be there. The point is when you take this Torah, give it to people that it should go with them. They should take it wherever they go. It should remain with them. Not only when they're standing here at the mountain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, Im mekabel mes haTorah mutaf. If you're mekabel the Torah, good. V'im lav, shom tehei kvuraschem. There you will be buried. What does it mean, there you will be buried? So my father, Flex Zogin, name of his Rebbe, Baron Soloveitchik, a lot of people say this pshat. And the problem isn't at Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, Klal Yisrael stand. You look, Kervanu Lefnei Har Sinai, we're here with so much inspiration, and we're now speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're here in this maimed, this tremendous maimed of it. That's not the problem. Over here, you'll be fine. But what happens when Klal Yisrael leaves the Har? What happens when you're not here anymore? Shom tehek furaschem. There you will be buried. There will be your death. The point is that a person should use the formative years, that it should stay with him. Like it's Shlomo HaMelech said, Chanoich lenar al pidarkoi, gam ki yazkin lo yasur mimenu. If you do the chinuch right, if it incubates properly while he's there in the years that he is together with his rebbeim, then even when he leaves, lo yosur mimenu. So then, he will not forsake it. A year ago, Rabbi Wallerstein came to Yeshiva. And he said, I feel so bad for you guys, because you worked an entire year, and you were here, and you were protected, and you're steiging, and you're going to go back, and the phones are going to suck the life out of you. He said it something like that. You remember that, Shmuz? It's going to suck the life out of you like a spider, the way it like sucks all the life out of you. That's what it's going to do to you. And it pained me very much. And I told myself a year ago, next year, it's not going to happen. And Rabbi Isai, it is unbelievable. For a lot of people, it's unbelievable what's happening here in Yeshiva. The fact that there's this movement within Yeshiva of so much protection when they're leaving the Yeshiva. And I was just in Chutz Lartz, and people say to me, how do you do it? How did you do it? And I said, I didn't do it. They did it. You guys did it. It's amazing what's going on in this issue. Rabbi Isai, I was sitting at a chasana with Rabbi Blazi Yudel Finkel. And I had to boast a little bit. I said, you know what's going on at Yeshiva? Rabbi Blazi Yudel said, I want to come to the Yeshiva. I didn't ask him. He said, I want to come to the Yeshiva. I want to give you Yashar Koach. So Beis Hashem, before this man's over, Blaise Yudel Finkel, the Rashiva of the Meir Yeshiva, is going to come here to give a bracha to the Bachrim who are being mamish, to understand the Kiddush Hashem that's going on in the world. I was on a plane sitting next to this Rabbi Weiss. He said to me, "You have the best yeshiva in the entire world." That's what he said. So Rabbi Isai, it's a beautiful thing that here in yeshiva, Baruch Hashem, the Olam is protected, and we're strong and we're fierce. But that the Bachrim can take it with them. Lahalos near Talmud, that the Shalheves is Oyla Me'aleha, that he keeps it on his own and he realizes this is important to me, this is precious to me. That is really the tafkid and the tachlis of what we're trying to do. I want to tell you a story I heard from Rabbi Ephraim Waxman, and Imamish made me think of what's happening. It's a story that he tells Rabbi Ephraim Waxman. He was at Chassan, he was sitting with an Alta Yid, and he was a person that was shaykh to this mice. I don't remember the exact, if he was this boy, I think so. The story is as follows. There was a Rav that was in Auschwitz. His name was the Weizener Rav. The Weizener Rav, who opened the Weizener Cheder in Chicago, he became a very big mashpia in America. The Weizener Rav was in Auschwitz, and somehow he smuggled a shofar into Auschwitz. He had a shofar in Auschwitz. Now, as you all know, there's a selection that happens in Auschwitz. And the selection is if you're a certain height. So that's the way that he described it, a certain height. So then you go to the work camps. If you're a certain height, you don't. Now, they were gassing people, so many people at once, that they actually had to put them in their own bunk, 1,400 children that knew they were going to be gassed tomorrow. And they're there in a bunk. And they're screaming to the Weizen Rov, "We want you to come and blow shofar for us. We want you to come blow shofar." Because they knew he had a shofar. And he's not allowed to go in that bunk. And he knew that if he goes in and they catch him, he's dead. And his son says to him, "Tati, don't do it. Don't do it. What, you're worried about them? What about me? Because if you get caught, then I'm alone." And he struggled with himself, what's the right thing to do? And he decided he's going in. He goes into a bunk, there's 1,400 kids who know they're dying tomorrow. And the kids say to him, "Rebbe, it's tekiyas, we need a drasha for tekiyas. It always has to be a drasha for tekiyas. So before you blow, we want to hear the drasha." And the Weizener Rav said a drasha, and he said, I look at a mountain and I say, "Where is my Yeshua going to come from? Where is my help going to come from?" And he said, just like a mountain, "Where did a mountain so huge? Who made this mountain? Where did it come from? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can create mountains. He could move mountains. He could do anything. And you could be saved in an instant. And therefore, we have to believe Yeshua's Hashem, afilu cherev chodo as munach, even a person has a sharp knife on his neck and he can be saved, and you have to have amuna." And the Weizen Rav spoke very strong. And one of the kids got up and he said, "My friends, the Rav is telling us to be optimistic, but we also have to be prepared for the worst. We also have to be prepared for that too. Now, when a Yid gets killed, he has to say Shema Yisrael. And we want to say Shema Yisrael with the right kavanas. And who knows if when in that moment when we're there, we're going to be confused. We might not be able to say Shema Yisrael. So let's do it now. Let's all say Shema Yisrael with real kavana. Let's say it together." And they scream Shema Yisrael. 1,400 kids are screaming Shema Yisrael. They should say the kavana. They should be prepared to die al Kiddush Hashem. Hafluvah. There's a Jewish kapo who's there, who's witnessing all this. There's a Jewish guy who's in charge of all the bunks. And he sees this kid, and he's so impressed with this child. He decides he's going to save this kid. And he, through his connections, manages to get this kid out of the bunk, and he gets him into another bunkhouse. And he tells him, "This is extremely, extremely delicate. And if you get caught, if they find out that I moved you, so then everyone here, it's going to be a disaster. They're going to kill everybody." And he said, "Don't come near the bunk. Stay away. Because if they catch you here and they figure out you're supposed to be inside and you're somewhere else, It's serious trouble. And that night, the capo comes and he sees that the kid is standing outside of the bunkhouse and he tells his friends, I want to come in. And he tells him, are you a meshugana? I saved you from death. Only a meshugana goes back. You're coming back? Are you crazy? And he said to him, but I want to be with my friends. I need to be with my friends. Only a meshugana is going to go back to death. Even if we want to be with our friends. Rabbi Yisai, it's a different life. I could tell you, honestly, for a short period of time in my life, I had a smartphone. It was in Chutz Lartz, it wasn't here, but I thought I needed it for communication. And I saw this is not for me. It's a different life. When you let go, it's so hard to let go. But when you do, you get your life back. You have your life. When Rav Gamliel got up and spoke very harsh words, and his gabbai told me afterwards, he said to him, his gabbai's name is Zelig. He said, Zelig, you know, I never talked this way. I just came out. Totally unscripted, totally unprepared. I had no clue what he was going to talk about when he walked in, and he just screamed, Bocher that has this type of machine is Chayev Misa. He wasn't being trying to be dramatic about it. He was being literal. Chayev Misa, because you're destroying your life. We're giving you your life back. Only a meshugana goes back. Meshugana is going to go back into the filth. It's into all the entanglement that's there. And you are out. Just stay out. Enjoy life. That's the opportunity. That's what I was thinking when I heard this. And I said, Meshuganas go back. Someone who's normal, is healthy. Now, there's no question that it's much more comfortable. And you want to be with your friends. These are my friends. That's where everyone is. There's 1,400 kids in there. The other people out there are all the mature adults. He wants to be with his friends. It's a choice of life and death. Is that important to be with your friends? Rabbi Yisai, we have to capitalize on a very special moment. I want to tell you, I called Rav Gedalia Zlotowitz. And I asked him, I told him, you know, the Bochum in Yeshiva, you know what's going on over here? So Rav Gedalia, I asked him if he could give us that, you know, for Bochum that are taking this leap. That art school is going to gift for everyone. Anyone needs it. The art school has these things that they put on, you know, on the pads, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and different mesechtas. And he says he's going to give because he understands the chashivas of what is happening. The people, everyone I speak to, understands the greatness of what you're doing, but appreciate that the challenge is there, but you're getting your life back. It's an interesting thing. This week's parashat says the word lahalois ner tamid, as we mentioned. In parashas ba'aloischa, it also says ba'aloischa saneros, which is also the same lashon. And Rashi there does the same thing as he does over here. Rashi says, why say ba'aloischa saneros? Shalheves oila me'aleha, as we mentioned here. But Rashi over there also says another reason why it says ba'aloischa. Rashi says that when the Kohen lit the menorah, he had to actually go upstairs. There were steps before the menorah, and the Kohen had to go upstairs in order to light the menorah. That's what Rashi says. So the Svarim asked the question. Rashi over here and Rashi over there are both shtelling. They're both marking that this word of Bahaloischa. And Rashi over there says two reasons why it's called Bahaloischa. One is that the flame has to go up on its own. The other one is because the Kohen has to go up steps in order to light the menorah. Why is it that Rashi over here only mentions one reason? Rashi over here just says, Shalheves Oyla Me'aleh. And Rashi Ki'ilu forgets about the other reason, about the stairs. Says the Sefer, Mayim Yecheskel, Tzvi Becheskel, Katzen Ellenbogen. Says the following thing. He says, Over here, we're talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Over here, we're talking about when during the inauguration of the Mishkan, it was actually Moshe that lit the menorah. In Parshas Bahaloyscha, it's talking about Aaron lighting the menorah. What's the difference? Says the Ma'ariv Yecheskel says the following thing. He says Moshe and Aaron were both very prestigious. They were both very chashuv. As a matter of fact, it says that they were shkulim. They were equal. Sometimes it says Moshe and Aaron. Sometimes it says Aaron and Moshe. Sure, they're both very chashuv. However, Moshe was much taller than Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amas tall. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he lit the menorah was only Yudches Tvachim. Moshe Rabbeinu is way taller than the menorah. Does Moshe Rabbeinu have to go up on stairs in order to light the menorah? He doesn't. Because Moshe was three times taller than Aaron. Moshe was huge. Now Aaron was pashtus only around 3 amas tall. Pashtus. 3 amas tall, so how's he going to get to the top of the menorah? Aaron has to go up on stairs. Says the Ma'ariv Yecheskel, so when we're saying Parshas Tetzaveh or Parsha, so Moshe Rabbeinu, why does it say Lahalois Ner? Only one reason. But in Parshas Bahaloischa, when it says Aaron is going to light the menorah, Aaron has to go up on stairs. There's another reason why. Got it? So listen to this interesting story. The story happened like this. There was someone named Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Mizitichov. And he had seen in a machzer, back in the day, machzer used to have pictures. And he saw in a machzer, there was a picture of Moshe and Aaron. Moshe was much taller, and Aaron was much larger, wider. I don't want to use the word fatter, but wider, he says. Rachav is wide. So Reb Tzvi Hirsch Mizitichov, he asked the Bnei Yisachar. He asked him, why do they draw the picture this way? It's such a strange picture. Moshe is very tall and Aaron's like very wide. Like, why do they do that? He says, very simple. He said, because Moshe Rabbeinu was very tall, that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amas tall. But it says that Moshe and Aaron are shkulim, so they have to be equal. So Aaron has to be very wide. They're shkulim. So the Ayam laughed. He said, don't laugh. There's rosé rosé, the secrets, major secrets that the Bnei Yisachar tells us here. Huge secrets. That's it. I'd like to perhaps suggest, I got a giloy, maybe the pshat's like this. Maybe the pshat's like this. The Zohar calls Moshe Rabbeinu Shushbina Demalka. Moshe Rabbeinu is Shushbina Demalka, and Aaron HaKohen is Shushbina de Matranusa, which means that when you go like to a marriage, so someone has to escort the king, the chassan, right? Who's escorting the chassan? Moshe Rabbeinu. Who's escorting the kala? Aaron. Who's the chassan? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who's the kala? Klal Yisrael. So there's something that's unique about these two personalities. Very, very different. Moshe Rabbeinu is a bechino of Shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu is very tall. Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu is Parish Me'ishto. He's like, Kuloi Ruchni Moshe Rabbeinu. He mamish touches the Shechina. 10 Tvachim is like the Shechina goes until 10 Tvachim. Moshe Rabbeinu is right there. Moshe Rabbeinu goes all the way up, Moshe Rabbeinu. He can even go into Shemayim. Kuloi Ruchni. Aaron HaKohen is a whole different thing. Aaron HaKohen is called Oyves Abrius. Mekarvim LaTorah. Aaron HaKohen loves people. He's friendly. He's nice. Aaron HaKohen is like with the Olam. He's with the Chevra, Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen is very wide. Because Aaron HaKohen is with all the Chevra down here. Aaron HaKohen has been Adam LaChaveroi. Was huge. Was huge. Moshe Rabbeinu has been Adam LaMokoyim. Was huge. Moshe Rabbeinu is very tall. Aaron HaKohen is very wide. I think that's the pshat. They were shkulim. Because there's an importance to Ben Adam Lamakam. And there's an importance to Ben Chavir. Aaron HaKohen was being Meroi Meim Klal Yisrael. He was bringing them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by connecting with people, having relationships with people. He was wide. Moshe Rabbeinu was Kilu, bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu down to us. He was the art senior to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu was very tall. And we have both of these Bechinas. And Rabbi said, we all know, people talk all the time about, it's like the statistics that they come out with what's happening on the internet, the amount of damage that's being done, Bein Adam LaMakom, what people are doing on the internet, the amount of exposure that people have that's destroying their neshama, we all know about that. the chiddush that we had is the Bein Adam Mechaveru that we're losing. And at Shkulim, I would say maybe even worse, Bein Adam Mechaveru, both of them, because after a while, you get sick and tired of all the garbage that a person sees. And a person can put a filter on his phone and thinks, okay, I'm good now. But the statistics are also coming out in the world, in the secular world, about how people are losing their ability to have relationships, to have friends, to connect with people. They don't know how to have conversations. And I'm not talking about just Rabbi Wallerstein, who that alone is impressive enough. But I'm talking about statistics all over the place. The Goyish world is seeing it. Rabbi Weiss, who works for Netspark, started Netspark, he was brought to America to speak to the Goyim, because the Goyim are trying to figure out, what are we doing over here? We can't, we're losing everyone. There's no people in the world anymore. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro doesn't exist. People are losing their ability to communicate with other people, their connections. They feel like they're connected and yet they're alone. And you can hear about it, you can read about it. And this is something which obviously you know, it talks to me, so I'm reading, I could show you so much literature, so much material about how people don't anymore have meaningful relationships. It doesn't exist anymore. You go in when you want, you go out when you want, it's not a real relationship. And that's what's happening, that the Yetzirah and the internet is, it's a breakdown not only of Bein Adam L'Makom, which we all understand, but Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. But I want to say a chiddush. There's something else the Yetzirah is doing. The internet is doing a third thing. There's another bechino called Bein Adam L'Atzmai. Bein Adam L'Atzmai is, there's certain things which are just building yourself as a person. Not about your relationships with other people, and not about your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just your identity. And the Maharal writes about this. The Maharal says there's three different things. There's Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. Gemilas Chasadim is Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi. It's, we have friends, right? I'm nice to you. Avodah is service of Hashem. What's Torah? Torah builds a person. Torah creates a person that he should have the right understanding. He should be a person with dignity. That's why there's something called Kavod HaTorah. I have dignity for myself. Self-respect comes from Torah. That's Bein Adam L'Atzmai. There's something happening on the internet which is so subtle and so severe. There's a handful of companies that have a handful of people that are controlling the minds of billions of people. A handful of companies and a handful of people that are controlling the minds of billions of people. And I myself saw an interview of someone who used to be one of those people. Used to work for Google. He said, we have this teeny little room, and in this room, we sit with our dials, and we control your mind. We control the way you think. We control the decisions you make. You think you're in control? No. Once you're on the internet, we have the ability to control the decisions you make. We can tell you which is going to be the next site you're going to go to. We can control what your opinion is of different types of people. We can do that. We do it. And he pulled out because he said, this is unethical. He said, I can't do this anymore. It's unethical. We're controlling your minds. And no one is doing anything about it. And when you go there, you are making yourself susceptible to having all different types of crazy opinions, crazy ideas that you would reject otherwise, if not for the fact that they can present it to you in a way that you cannot say no. You don't have the ability to do it. They have the technology. They spent so much money. Could you imagine? Do you know what's at stake? The billions and trillions of dollars that they're making over this, but they know how to do it. They know how to, they want to get you on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, whatever it is, whatever they, and he talks about how everything is done and the way that they structure this, they control your minds. A free person, ein ben chayrin kimish oisik b'toira. Torah makes you free to have real opinions, to be a real person. A person that's in that world, that man-made world, he loses his ability to really think. He's not a person anymore. He's a robot. He's controlled. That's what they're doing. So Rabbeisai, we have the biggest challenge in the history of the world. The biggest nisayon in the history of the world. I heard once from a Gavra Rabba. He said, you know, we're just about at the end. It's over. The Yetzer Hara is going to pull out everything he's got. You know when a person dies? At the last minute, he all of a sudden gets a lot of energy and then he collapses. The Yetzer Hara pulls out everything. There has never been an everything like the internet. Never. Anything you want, any garbage, any filth, bin adam l'chaveru, bin adam l'makom, bin adam l'atzmoy, it's all there in this teeny little thing that you keep in your pocket. And if you can pull away from that, you could break away from that, then you have now mastered the challenge of all eternity. Because this is the challenge we are now. Breaking away, bringing Mashiach, Be'ez Hashem, we should be Zoicha. That we should see soon, Rabbi said, because what we're doing is phenomenal. Super phenomenal. We should be Zoicha soon to see. Mashiach Tzidkenu should be here. Amen.